Right, ladies and gentlemen, how you doing this beautiful day? First off, I'd like to remind you to subscribe to my man Rick's podcast, Tin Biscuit Podcast. Absolutely banging shit. You'll love it. Enjoy the rest of the show. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Classic Club Podcast. We are joined by a very special guest today. His name is Rick. He is from the Tin Biscuit Podcast. How are we doing?
All right, guys. Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Beautiful. Tell us a bit about your podcast, Rick. What's it about?
It's a free speech podcast, and it's all unedited, so whatever's sort of said, what sort of ever's done, it just goes out instantly. There's like nothing, so I just put it on as sort of it is.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Oh, nice.
So what kind of stuff do you cover then?
Anything really. Anything that anyone really wants to talk about. I've had Paddy from Emmerdale on.
Oh, nice.
He invited me to his house. Well, I like was friends with him on Facebook anyway. So he invited me to his house for lunch and to interview him and his wife.
Yeah.
I know you guys are interested about the woman or the trans woman that won £4 million from a £10 scratch card.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
one's good. Yeah, that was...
Let me get into that.
From Hull, Melissa Reed. Apparently, she sold her soul. Her and her fiancé, Rachel, did some sort of ritual, they said, out of like nowhere in this little circle. They didn't really want to talk much about it, but they said they went back to this place and nothing grows where this circle is. And then someone told her to buy this scratch card. She scratched it off. She thought people were taking the mick out of her, sort of thing. Then it turned out she won £4 million. And then I think maybe a year, is it? Just under a year, then she passed away from... some sort of heart thing that wasn't really, like heart disease was in her family, but she didn't have no heart problems herself.
Oh, God. That's like,
so who did you actually talk to? Was it the woman herself?
Yeah, I like went round to their house. They like invited me there. So I did that in two parts because she wanted to go to the toilet for a poo. But she,
oh, of course.
But I mean, people have seen her videos online. She's in like that crazy woman that hang like milk things and then jumped on like over her boobs and that and like jumped on like and just did her stuff, but she's not as crazy in real life as she was doing that.
Fair enough. I'm sure you would go crazy though. £4 million. Did you like, was there a nice house or like did she like splash the cash or was it
she won £4 million. I think she said she invested £3 million and it gave her something like £6 grand a month to do what she wants, but the house went like really over lavish and it was nice and she had about £40 grand BMW.
Oh, nice.
Things like that.
Oh, of course she did. She loved it.
So, but unfortunately, either the heart gave up or the devil came to take the contract.
So how does she do that then? How does she sell her soul to the devil?
They really, really want to talk about it that so much. They were very candid. And I brought it up in the second part and I just said, I need to ask you a bit more about this. Because when she first said it, like, and people say, I've just sold my soul, I just thought it just was a flippant thing people say. Oh, well, just something people say. But it turned out they actually did some sort of crazy ritual.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I've seen on your podcast, you've gone to churches, done some ghost hunts and stuff like that. So how far do you believe in her story of that?
I don't know. And that sort of stuff.
I really don't know. That church that I went to, that EVP, I went there not last year, the year before, and I got three scratches on my arm that weren't there when I went in the church. So I don't know. I wouldn't do it personally, but you can see from a guitarist called Robert Johnson. He's a famous blues guitarist. I don't know if you guys have heard of him.
Rings a bell.
I can't say I have.
Yeah, he supposedly met the devil at a crossroads at 12 o'clock. And he did play guitar, but he was crap. And then he went away for 12 months. Then apparently he'd come back. And people say you can't get that good in 12 months. It's just unreal how good he's got. So he died, and apparently he was found like on all hands and fours, like foaming at the mouth and that before he died. So I think they put it down to poison. I think they said someone poisoned him. Don't quote me on that, but that's what I think the story says.
Guys, how long have you been podcasting?
I started 2018.
Oh, fair strong. You've been. What's the most interesting person you've interviewed?
Most interesting?
Yeah.
That's a question. I don't really know now you've said that. Probably, I had a guy called Simon Tripoli on. That was quite big for me because he's like a LA comedian and he's like friends with like Joe Rogan and Joey Diaz and that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a link,
But probably most interesting would be Melissa Reed and like her fiance Rachel because they were strange, but strange in a good way. And like they were really nice as well. Like, you know, they weren't assholes. She went crazy because I was really worried she'd just be out there. And she was just normal. So, I mean, she was still a bit crazy, but she wasn't as crazy as the videos. So,
One quite interesting question I feel like we have to ask, because your name is the Tim Biscuit Podcast. And here at the Classic Club, you know, we love our biscuits.
Oh, yes.
So, first, where did the name Tim Biscuit come from?
I was stoned. Just come from that.
I saw one of your podcasts about an acid trip. You want to tell us a bit more about that? Because I found that quite interesting, actually.
That was the first time when we did it in Leeds. So we like went to a ward and had a walk around the ward. And then you get something called time dilation and that, where sort of like the best way to say time dilation is put a kettle on and you look at it while it boils. It's going to boil. It'll feel like it's boiling longer than it would boil if it was in the room doing something. So, anyway, we went into the woods. It lasted about, I think we was only in there for about 2 hours, but it felt like we was in there for about 4 or 5 hours. Then came back, just chilled out, got Domino's pizza and that, and then went to bed about 3. But it was an awesome experience. It was like, sort of, it came out like a new product person. So, yeah, it's...
Like a little enlightening moment, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you feel changed about you then?
Just start to appreciate things a bit more, especially the day after. Everything seems so vibrant and vivid, and like lush.
Sure it would.
So, but I think they messed up on the dosage, so we had two, like a double dose on the fruit pastel. Because not many people know, well, I'll just say anyway, but I like really needed a toilet in the forest and it was dead windy. I went round this tree and they came round, my two mates came round and said, "What are you doing?" I went, "I'm having a wee." And with that, I just sort of pulled my things up, still weeing, so I sort of pissed myself as well.
Crikey.
As you did.
As you did.
It's all right. Ben still does it to this day.
Oh, nothing to be ashamed of.
You can't help it sometimes, can't help it. We'll bring it back to reality. We'll go back to, on the topic of biscuits, we'll go back to the biscuits.
Oh, yeah.
What is your favourite biscuit?
Bourbon biscuit.
Oh, good man.
A man of good class. Man. And tea or coffee?
I like both. Probably tea. I had to pick. Because I have tea and
good
honey
man.
And milk.
Oh, yeah.
But
beautiful.
I put the honey in milk, then I put the water in, then I put the tea bag in.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting.
You've got to maybe dissolve the honey and stuff. Yeah, makes sense.
So why do you do it that way?
That's the way I've always done it. And like, I've got a thing about when people squeeze the tea bag in, like the cup. I just think you just should let it brew to how you want it. But I get hammered for it. People say, "Nah, you put the milk in last. You put the milk in last." I'm like, no, you just do what you do.
Controversial on this podcast.
Something you never
heard before. I've never heard anything like that.
I might have to try the honey, to be fair. I've never actually heard it.
Good.
Never gone down that route.
Since I've been having that, I hardly get colds or flus, which people should try in this day and age, I think.
The thing you should, I love is you put a bit of hot orange squash or hot Ribena. So that's obviously Ribena, hot water, and then put a bit of honey in it as well. Really good.
If you're feeling a bit coldy, if you're feeling a bit of the Rona coming along, then that's always a good drink to have.
honey. How are you coping with self-isolation?
Me? Fine, really, because like I was at work all day, then I used to come home and do my stuff, then I'd like repeat it. So there's nothing really changed. I went out for a massive walk today, about 21,000 steps. I went for a 12-mile bike ride yesterday. The day before was 24,000 steps.
Christ.
So,
I've always enjoyed doing that. Yesterday, I just went out on my bike, went into the forest and just got lost. It was great. I loved it.
I don't think we're going to get any worse than that, but I think people are losing the schools over all this. And I don't think the media's helping.
No. You strike me as someone who doesn't like the media.
Not really, because, they lie. So, I don't know if you guys have watched that thing, Panorama, that was going to do a documentary on Tommy Robinson, but Tommy Robinson was filming that. Oh.
Panodrama.
Yeah, and, from there, it's you can't even trust the BBC. No matter what you think of Tommy Robinson, they tried to fit him up. And, they even tried to get, say, maybe he tried to sexually assault you or sexually do something to you. And then he just released all this footage with the producer. And like I said, you tried to set me up. I've got a family and kids and all this. Yeah. But
there was that thing, there was a Centre Parks incident as well, wasn't there?
Where his little girl got the bum touched.
So,
I just don't like him. That's it.
He gets clicks, if you can stoke up a fire and just, put him's name in the thing and then you've got it. But, I'm not going to talk about what his ideology and all that, because I'll probably, even if I was right or he was right and stuff like that, I'd still get the shit ripped out of me.
The thing is,
you just can't deny. If you look up Panorama, and no matter what you think of Tommy Robinson, he caught them out there.
And he's not a stupid guy, because I've sort of read a bit of his book, and he's not a stupid guy at all. So
no,
that's another reason why I wanted the podcast, because I believe everyone's got to have the say, because that's the only way you can find the truth.
I can see a point in that. Yeah, it's important to have an opinion at all different angles. Otherwise, you're never really going to move anywhere, are you?
Because it's not unedited and it's free speech. You've got it raw, so that's like the best.
Yeah,
Ben loves it. Ben loves it that way. So I noticed on your Instagram you were posting the frequency of your radio, your walkie-talkie, in case things go down.
That was a bit of a tongue-in-cheek thing, but yeah, that's it's actually a PMR radio channel 3. So if private mobile radio channel 3. But if things went down, you all need one of them.
Lucky, okay. I've got one.
Do you think you'll get that far? Do you actually have one?
Yeah, I've got one.
Oh, nice. Fair enough.
It's cool. No. I think this is a precursor for something happening within 5 to 10 years. And I think it's been rebranded something. I've just watched a video. I'll send it to you guys. Where they're saying they've sort of done something for the stats and people that are dying who had coronavirus that don't know how coronavirus would have acted if they didn't have it. They would have probably died. And the people in Spain and Italy have got one of the oldest generations in the world.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just think it's...
So, are you suggesting it's a bit of placebo effect?
I think it's a precursor for something to 5 to 10 years. And I think when someone dies, they'll just label it as coronavirus, when it's maybe just the flu, or they're going to die anyway. But they had the flu. But, that's my own personal view. I mean, if you go back, they're doing it systematically. They're installing fear, which, they did do. Then it's... They've told us what to do, so we're all doing as I told. Now they've done it where everyone's clapping for the NHS, So it's like they're sort of controlling us, and it's the media that are doing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I did have, I had Sky News, BBC, RT News and The Sun. And if you look at them, they all weird things differently. It's all clickbait, especially The Sun.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So I've got rid of The Sun. I love it. Just stuck with Sky, BBC. And right now I've got a beef for BBC News, but it's just interesting on how they all report the same
stuff. How do you have a beef with BBC News?
Panadrama. Panadrama, mate.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a bit... Just a bit in
here. I mean, like...
With that, but it is, for me, it is still the most neutral we've got, in my opinion. But, you know, you couldn't deny there are some shit stirrers and all that in BBC that do lean...
Yeah, definitely.
Lean left. But, you know, it's BBC, it's a community-funded thing, so it makes sense.
Rick, you were talking to me about event 201. What was that?
Right, 201, that's in Bill Gates's thing by John, sponsored by John Hopkins College. I'm sure it's sponsored by them.
Is this the microchip?
Well, I think it's the precursor to it. But they can, because the first case of it was it November? But in October, they did a planned event, like a what would happen if, and that was called Event 201 with the mm-hmm. Bill Gates Foundation. And then November, this hit. So I think it's a precursor to where if something happens again with 5 to 10 years, we're just going to say, yeah, because we've done it before and it worked out well. But I think they're going towards a cashless society, which will bring in the chip. So,
oh, shit.
Yeah. Have you guys heard of the Wolf of Wolfenstone?
No, enlighten me.
He's from I'm Just Bait. It's a guy called Nathan John Baptiste. He's got about 16,000 followers. And I was talking to him the other day because he was recently a big business guy at the age of 18, selling sweets at his school, doing very successful. And I was trying to talk to him about getting on the podcast, but his theory was a bit more of a religious perspective of that, is that it's more of a, you know, Bill Gates is creating these chips, so then you take people away from God, etc.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one. Shit. Exactly, the mark of the beast.
Okay. This way no one can sell or buy anything unless they get a chip to the forehead or in the right hand. Well, that's
they can track you.
Yeah.
And the suggestion is that's going to be the vaccine, apparently.
I don't know if they'll do it that quick, but it's definitely the precursor to it. I sort of think they'll do it in a way where they'll phase out cash. They'll just have a contactless system because they've shown they can already up to £30 to £45. And I just think it'll go on from there because, like, no one will accept the chip. It's sort of like sort of this stage. So they're trying to do it slowly but surely. Everyone's going to think I'm crazy now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I kind of think I'm crazy for fully believing it. That makes. Does make sense. Where do you think coronavirus started? Because my idea, I think. Because if you
China,
yeah, no, obviously the Chinese virus. Apparently, calling the Spanish flu is racist as well. Apparently, but no. So I believe, not necessarily believe, but they. So a month in those November last year, they there were these like camps found in China that would it was all they put. Muslims in it, and they try and like turn them to the Chinese way and all that, and kind of brainwash them. They called them torture camps, obviously, to get more clicks. But that was in November. It's horrific, which not many people actually know about. And then all of a sudden, early December, a scientist, the whistleblower, sees the coronavirus and alerts the government, and the government tell him to keep it quiet. That is a fact, not that, and then they might not be linked, and then obviously coronavirus grows and all that. The government might have made it detract from the other stories, and well, it's just a bit fishy about how elusive China have been about all that shebang. What about you? What do you think? Do you think the coronavirus was just natural or made or what?
Well, saying that about the government, you could say, I mean, I don't know if you guys can remember when we went to Iraq war the second time when it was Bush, but okay. David Kelly Scott said this this dossier is bullshit, basically. They ain't got no weapons of mass destruction. So we went to war on the lie, on like a lie. This is when Tony Blair was Prime Minister. And then it turned out David Kelly Scott, the guy who called it bullshit, killed himself in a field by, I think he took tablets and slit his wrists. So, it's not just the Chinese government that can do things, it's our government as well. But, I don't know. I mean, there's supposed to be some sort of facility in Wuhan, aren't there? Because Wuhan's just relifted their restrictions, I think. But there's some sort of facility where they, like, store the coronaviruses. So, but then I've just been listening to a YouTube thing today where it might be 5G, sorry. Because China, Japan's got a low thing on this, and they haven't switched their 5G on yet. But
that's an interesting. So,
what do you think is going to happen when that turns on? Then what's the plan behind that? I've been aware of the controversy, but I've never really
exactly the same as you on that. I just thought it was just what your phone signal. So, yeah. But saying that, it doesn't really matter where this virus, who, what, where. It's brought everyone together. In a way where it's making people say hello more to people. And for the first time, I think technology is playing a good part in sort of society. Because I think it's going to be the downfall. Technology. The uni bomber in his manifesto said this. And I think we've become too reliant on it.
Yeah.
Because have you ever watched Quantum Leap before?
Yes.
No, I've never seen it. No. What's it about?
A time traveler that goes into people's bodies, but he's got to sort out their problems. And when he does, he quantum leaps into someone else. But he had a guy with him called Al, and he had like a little pocket computer called Ziggy that had all the information. And it's just like basically we've got a Ziggy now in our phone. We like can answer any question. We can do all our banking on our phone.
Yeah.
So, and the way technology is progressing, it's such a fast rate compared to it was, say, 5 years ago. We're moving at such a fast rate. So,
and also, it's less documented as well. We don't. They might actually be. They are. They probably definitely are further technologically advanced than we think. Like Area 51, places like that.
Yeah, they've
definitely got stuff hidden away.
Well, they wouldn't let us know if there was technology that could go further than we can imagine. It would stay quiet.
Yeah, they're probably maybe 30 years in front of us. And, it just who knows? Because, like, phones nowadays are, like, incredibly fast. People don't hardly use laptops anymore. It's all on the phone. So,
yeah.
If we get a chip that can, they've already got contact lenses out for diabetes people that can monitor the blood light levels and shine up on their eyes. So I don't think it'd be long.
I don't know.
I don't think it's going to be long.
Have you seen Years and Years? Russell T Davies on BBC iPlayer.
No,
BBC. It was a bit different. They didn't have a virus in that, but it did have people. They had a thing called Senor, and it was like the way the family would, because the family were up and down the country. They would the whole storyline is it follows a family as time rolls on, and it shows the world going to shit and how everyone's relying on technology and all that, and it has predicted a few things, because obviously the coronavirus, it predicted more of a nuclear fallout and stuff like that. It's good, check it out.
It's like if we had a power cut, say if that's going to be the ultimate thing, if like it did go wrong, they'd just hit the power and everyone would be screwed.
Yeah.
Because people communicate with the phones. I mean, I'm lucky enough to like come from a time where phones weren't, and like the internet weren't a big thing, so I could sort of manage back to go into books.
Yeah,
everyone's gone reliant on it, even like 70 to 80 year old people now are using iPads and phones.
Well, you have to now, you like, if you don't have one, you have to go to a library and you have to use a computer.
They're making it a necessity, they're making it so you have to have these things, and that is controlment, but it's very. What's the word I'm looking for? It's very slight. It's very insidious the way, like they do it.
Good movie.
Well, they might. They
it
might.
Is a good movie, yeah.
Well, they're making us believe that it's our decision as well to have it.
Yeah, it's just all about control. Well, and
yeah, I said it first in the conspiracy theory podcast. The best form of slavery is if you don't know you're a part of it.
That's it. I mean, I did a podcast on the 10th of March saying, is the coronavirus even real? And I just think it's a precursor. I sort of think that doing it bit by bit, step by step, and then they'll get the data after maybe 2 months, because I think they know they can't push it for them like that long.
Mm-hmm.
France and Spain and Italy and all that are a different cultural system. And I've said before, cultures don't mix. And
yeah.
That's a fact.
Yes.
It's like not being racist when, like, you say the Eastern culture doesn't mix with the West. It just doesn't mix.
No, it's true. I've got a...
It's different ideologies, isn't it?
Over
definitely,
my...
Yeah.
Just on that point, little thing that backs it up. But it can work. It could work. But there's a my cousins where they live. There's a cricket club near them,
yeah.
And then some like Asian people started joining the thing, and they were like, "Yeah, sure thing, that's fine. Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
no problem with that. They're all playing the cricket. It's all good." And all of a sudden, more of them started joining, which still absolutely fine. But it was the fact of the matter is they weren't going to the club after it, so they obviously have a clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to the clubhouse after and having a drink, which is the main way they make their money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
by people having a pint, and which is a Western, well, definitely a British thing, going to the pub,
yeah,
after the going to the club and actually, you know, having a good time. They weren't doing that, and all of a sudden their club couldn't function anymore, and so they had to give away the club, and they all just went, yep, we'll take that. And now, yeah, it's so taboo, that subject, is you can't bring up that point about that, but it just happens.
Do you think it's a culture thing?
It's definitely
a culture thing.
Go on.
I've worked for Asians for like nearly, for, well, I did work for Asians for 11 years, so I do know what they are like, and they were from the Indian region. They were from India. They were Hindus. And their whole system's very strange. It's all work, work, work. But on the flip side of that coin, you can say they've seen proper poverty through the shanty towns there, and that's why they come here, to better themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it was fine, because it was a chemist. They owned 3 chemists in a mobility shop. I was a delivery driver. Mm-hmm. And then I applied for the mobility tech. The mobility technician, so I was fixing mobility scooters. But saying that, they've employed 30 odd people, so it's making the economy better. But
yeah,
they're like, sort of very strange, and some of them are rude. But I think they're standoffish, but that's maybe just the Western way. They maybe see us Western people as aggressive, drunk assholes.
Yeah. Well, it also, though, it might just be us not being willing to accept them as well, you know.
But
you might be expecting that. We don't know, really. We've all got to try. And from our side, it looks like they're not, you know, wanting to come down to the pub and stuff like that, not integrate with our culture. Have fish and chips, which no one actually... I like fish and chips. I love a fish and chips.
I think also the concept of culture is a very man-made thing. It doesn't actually have to exist at all.
Oh yeah, correct.
It's kind of, and that's not just talking about ethnic culture. That can be any form of culture. When it comes to fashion, when it comes to personalities, being online trends, culture is very a man-made thing.
Yeah.
And there are very few people to actually dare to go outside of any form of culture.
I mean,
well, it just tends to happen. You get, like, obviously at school, all the sporty kids would hang out and popular people and all. It just, that's just how it works, really. People just mix with.
But there's this people. Again, my Kanye West quote of the day. This is coming into a trend now, but there's this thing where James Corden asked him, you know, why would you vote for Trump if he goes against all the things black people stand for? And then Kanye West will reply with, well, why would you assume I make my decision because I'm a black man?
Exactly.
Why would I base it on that? So, yeah, I think it's a very enforced thing, and it's sort of, in a way, culture is its own form of slavery. We all abide to it unwillingly.
I mean, there is a tribe we did when I did sociology, and like when they went out hunting, the woman did their own thing, the men went out hunting, and like they left the babies and kids to just fend for themselves basically for a few hours. Now, if we did this here, that'd be seen as bad, but over there, it's just the way they do things.
Mm-hmm.
It's but like I do think if they come to our country, they should sort of integrate with us. But likewise, yeah. if we go to their country, we should abide by their laws.
That makes completely.
Yeah. So it's but you've got to remember that if people come over here, you will get the psychos over here. Like you get psychos here, they're going to have the same psychos over there.
Yeah.
And people from Somalia and people like that, and like India, have seen proper violence where they hack people with machetes, the poor, it's rife with disease, and they come here. It's just completely different. And I'm not racist at all, but people have got to say, we've all got to work together as humanity, but we won't, because you'll always get one psychopath or a group of psychopaths or sociopaths that won't do it.
I think more than ever, though, we've seen people working together at this time as well. I was quite surprised because I had a big prediction of just a complete loss of public order during the coronavirus. But it seems, touch wood, you know, it's felt like quite a safe environment. I've seen a lot of cooperation across the place. I know our road is starting a little union, you know, sort of work together and stuff like that. And I'm seeing that more and more. I don't know whether it's going to go from there.
And that's why I said it's like a beta test for maybe a precursor of something's going to happen. But, I think Boris is doing good. I sort of think, because I vote Conservative, but people have got to remember, banging on about Labour. Labour's never had a female leader. We're Conservative are two prime, sort of ministers. And it's looking like it's going to be the first Asian prime minister. So, and Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump's good. I mean, he's done a lot for, it was lower, the lowest unemployment's been, everything is working great. And he's...
Immigration's down. Immigration's actually...
Is that an economic high as well?
Deportation is also...
I think it's the highest in 50 years, I believe, something like that.
Even if he did something good, people would whinge at it because it's Donald Trump.
It was the same with Boris, though. When it came to a lockdown, you have people going, oh, you should have done this last week. And you go, leave the man alone. And then I saw today, I'm not going to name names, but I saw someone posting their story because he just announced he got coronavirus today. He just said, finally, some good news. I was like, Jesus Christ. That's a prime minister.
You've got to think about that. We could have had Diane Abbott in charge and she can't put her shoes on properly. And like,
oh, God.
Bloody Jeremy Corbyn.
I don't know what we'd have done if we had Jeremy Corbyn.
I'm like,
he would have made everyone get it.
I did have one of the Labour MPs on, an ex-Labour MP, Melanie Honor Grimsby. I had her on the podcast as well.
Oh, yeah.
And she basically said there wouldn't have won with Jeremy Corbyn. Because he's like too socialist, and that will go into communism. And it's it's fine, but capitalism's all good, but you should, I don't know, it's just mad, isn't it?
My motto has always been, you know, nothing's ever in black and white. It's never left or right. It's always, you've got to find some middle ground. Otherwise, no one's going to be pleased. Nothing's going
to
work.
I was talking to the Green Party lady in the... We had a political debate thing at the... before the election. And, she was brilliant. I would have voted her after the independent guy. I would have voted independent guy first. Mm-hmm. And if not, I would have voted the Green person. She was really... She had her head screwed on. She knew what she was talking about, and people are very quick to label, because a lot of people said as soon as she said she cycled in, they stopped listening to her. Which, well, you just can't afford to do. Yeah. And on the topic of UK government, it's quite interesting, and the US government and all that. It's quite interesting to see the media, you know, going straight in at Donald Trump and Boris Johnson, but not in on China for suppressing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
If any, they're going, oh, how well China dealt with it.
But the thing is, there's no way we would know, because they're quite secretive about these things, so you can't.
Well, no, it's definitely known that the whistleblower got told to be silent, and he died. He actually died last month trying to make a vaccine for it, working tirelessly, and it was absolutely horrendous, really.
I mean, the thing with China is that they control everything that leaves. That's some sort of why a lot of reporters in China will, like, use the Entor system, the, like, sort of onion system. I don't know if, like, you're aware of that. So it's basically, that's where the dark web is on Tor, and, like, everything's dot onion.
Yeah.
So it goes through lots of proxies. So it might, like, they're in China, but it'd be seeming like they might come from America. And that's one way they get around it. But Donald Trump's doing his best, and it's different over there because you've got states, and you're like states are fed, states are like legalizing weed, but it's still federally illegal.
Yeah, I heard this thing where if there's a federal officer who's in all states, if he catches you smoking marijuana in a marijuana legal state, he can still arrest you.
Yeah,
or they can still arrest you.
But it's making that much money, they can't use a federal bank. Well, I'm not sure if they can now, but they couldn't use federal banks, so they had to open the new banks because it was making that much money for them. And that was Colorado, I think. So,
yeah.
But, like, sort of even on that, going off topic a bit, when people say it causes schizophrenia, all their professors and doctors are saying we're seeing no spike or like, no rise in schizophrenia. It's just staying at plateau. If you've got a condition where you've got mental health, that can make it worse, but it doesn't cause it. It's never killed anyone. Unlike alcohol and tobacco here in the UK, if you saw someone being sick over a railing at night time, you'd say, ha, he's drunk, look at him, or ha, she's drunk, look at her. Hey. Yeah. But if you saw someone stoned, you'd think they're a waster. And it's how people see people in like a social way, but at the end of the day, one causes cancer, one's getting trialed for curing cancer, one's never killed you, and one's a massive drain on like the NHS.
Yeah.
So,
all about free the ganja.
Definitely.
Free the ganja.
The sweet melody gene.
I mean, I do it every day, and I haven't had any antacid, and I've not been really ill for the last 4 years, and I've come off my medication for my antacid, so.
Fair enough.
Well done.
Well done, man.
But then again, it's not for everyone, so.
Oh, of course not. But nothing ever is.
No, that's true.
But I think back to Trump, we got to understand that no one is perfect. But especially when, I think, again, Kanye West quote of the day, if there is someone in that higher power, and you don't agree with something they're doing, the last thing you want to do is not necessarily speak out against, but to not cooperate. So the hashtag trends of not my prime minister, not my president, will completely reverse anything you're trying to do. You've got to try and work with people in order to get things done. And people are just blinded by their own stubbornness to actually do anything about it. So they complain.
They're giving $1,000 out to everyone in America. They're going to get the checks done. And like someone said on another podcast, these people who did use the hashtag of Donald Trump, not my president, are they going to accept the $1,000 or are they just going to rip it up?
Yeah, you're right.
So, but it's like Donald Trump's good because he says he's like not a politician and he's a bit of an arsehole, but he's like the grumpy old boss.
Yeah.
He's just like a hard ass. He just says it as it is, like he said. What? It's the China virus. Well, it's not racist. It comes from China, and it is a virus. But the media,
like the Spanish flu,
he's got his head screwed on about business, really, because he knows.
But I think
if he calls it the coronavirus, China, what they'll do is they'll, because that's what they did. They tried to blame the virus on America, talking about an American troop bringing it in or something like that. That's what China were trying to do, paint it that America. So he just went, because he's in business, he knows what the media and all that do. He just goes, it's the China virus. And when he in the interview, when the guy was saying all the people are scared and cut back havoc, he just went, you're a bad reporter,
I was
move on.
Just gonna say, so could you imagine Boris like scolding a reporter? And he's just he just says as he thinks. He just doesn't see anyone. He like sort of sees them at all the same level. And like that's it.
I think the thing is though, like I do enjoy defending Trump where you know it's due, but then he'll come out and say something like people are going to die who have never died before, and I go, oh, come on.
Yeah. thing is, as a person, I'm not putting a comment on it. I don't know him, I don't, but track record is, as a person, he's kind of a horrible person, let's be honest.
Oh, we're talking about as a leader.
But as a leader and a politician, he's one of the best they've had. You know, he's a businessman. He does business, and you cannot deny the results he's had. And they say, and they'll say he's divided the country. No, you've divided yourselves.
I mean, going back to him being a good politician and like not a nice person, I know it's way off the mark, but I think that about Bono from U2. I think he's a prick, but I do like U2. I just think he's very condescending, and he's very because like they used to be a political band back in Ireland when all the IRA and UDA was kicking off. but then they've just got too big for the boots and that, and he's like flying around in his jets, but he's all for charity and that. It's like, you're just a prick, mate. But they do good music.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, anyway.
Oh, damn. Bono's a dickhead, then. Is that yeah. Is that the consensus?
Yeah, but he's like a good singer and he's in a good band, isn't he? So, I'm like, the dude.
Throws it back. It reminds me of the Imagine John Lennon cover by all the actors. That was a joke. That was a joke, if you ask
anything
me.
Anything like that, it's just, oh, look at me. Look at me. I'm doing this for... It's like... That, I mean, yeah.
Ricky Gervais. Just revert them to Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Let's change this up. What were your main like inspirations and further podcasts? Because I know ours, well, my one was The Ricky Gervais Show. I found that about a few years ago and just started listening to it all the time. I love that. I go to sleep most times listening to it with Steve Merchant and Carmel Pilkington. Like Joe Rogan? You mentioned Joe Rogan earlier.
Joe Rogan.
Ours is Ricky Gervais.
Sam Tripoli. I like Bobby Lee. I like King and the Sting. But I just wanted to like sort of get a view out because I'm not really good at writing like stuff down. I'm more better at speaking, so I thought a podcast, it's free. Well, no, it's not free. I pay £10 for my host. But then maybe get a different twist on it so there's no editing. It's raw. It's uncensored. Anyone can say what they want. Even if I don't agree, anyone's welcome on like sort of the podcast, because
that's what we love. Yeah,
being like, because all views must be heard. It's no good. That's some sort of, well, I've got a big beef with people who say Tommy Robinson's a bit. I mean, I'm not a Tommy Robinson like lover, but I'm using him as an example because I started with him. And then you ask him, well, what do you know about his background? Did you know he like went to like sort of like an aerospace engineer apprentice? Do you know he's not racist? Do you know he's like grown up in Luton? And even Stacey Dooley did a documentary when she went down to Luton and they were all calling her a slag and that, the way she was dressing. And Stacey Dooley said, I grew up here, you can't speak to me like that.
Yeah.
So, but we've got so much going on, but people, because the woke think it's cool to do this, they don't actually know. They're just following a narrative of what they've been told, but they don't know they're being told they've got to follow it, sort of thing.
Yeah,
that's what I think. Anyway.
If you're woke, then wake up.
Yeah, I do feel sorry for Tommy Robinson because he does just see, like, unless it's very well good misdirection from him, he does, if you actually do a little, like, literally 2 minutes of digging and actually find his, not a YouTube channel because you don't have one, I think it's Romy Tomlinson on some other thing. Anyway, you just go there and he is very intelligent. He doesn't strike me as that. And I remember my daddy, he was mentioning, talking about Tommy Robinson. I was just like, I was listening to the media. I was just like, oh, here we go again. Bloody hell, Dad. Once again, coming out with your borderline, maybe racist or maybe not. It's
wacky
stuff.
Stories. Yeah.
And he just went, Ben, shut up and watch this. And yeah, I was like, oh, damn. Look, they've scapegoated him, if I'm honest.
I think the left are getting way, way, way to a point where you can't say this, you can't have this opinion, you can't do that, you can't... I mean, trans...
It's censorship.
Yeah, like, trans and everything. People, if, like, you don't follow someone's narrative, you're classed as transphobic, racist, homophobic, and it's like, that's another reason, going back to the podcast, is like, come on, and we'll talk about it. Because I used to have an argument on Twitter with saying a trans woman's never going to be a real woman. That's why they're called trans women. And people say, blah, blah, this. I say, well, come on my podcast and we'll talk about it. It was like a fun...
That's exactly what we like doing, isn't it? If someone disagrees, bring them up.
Yeah, like I like that.
Like a fun fact, that if you had a trans man who gave birth and they wanted all their sort of documentation to be legally to male and they give blood and that blood goes to a man that can kill a man because they've give birth back when they was female... When you give birth, your blood changes through all the medication you get. So it's dangerous to do a blood transfusion or, like, give blood to a male when you've already given birth. So that could kill them. And that's not just me pulling it out of my ass. That's a medical fact. So I think we've got to be careful when we're doing these things. Because also, I've had two trans on my podcast. I've been to a trans wedding. And I've also had Caroline Farrow on, who was on GMTV. and she was getting done for misgendering.
Yeah.
The mermaid's like creator, she took her child off to get a like an operation. But groups like Mermaids and you've got Stonewall are pushing for it. But doctors and professors are saying most people who are trans or at that age turn out to be autistic because they focus all their attention on one interest. And I think I'm a bit autistic because I'm like that. I can't have many interests. I've got to focus my attention on one. So if you get a child who's like a lad who's like dressing in like girls wear, it's just the thing they'll be focusing on.
Yeah.
But Stonewall and Mermaids are pushing for them to be on these puberty blockers and things like that. But
well, yeah, I think that is completely dangerous. You don't want to mess about with your body at that young age. Maybe maybe wait until like 16,
18.
I would say 18.
Stick it where
I'd say 25.
I think 16's all right. But even clear something up, Rick.
Yeah.
I presume one thing, but would you, if I'm a gender man, so I want to register as a woman. Would you address me as she or he? Which one?
I respect your choice. Even though I might not agree with it, I would still respect your choice because it's your choice.
Then would you? What pronoun would you use? She.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to clear that because some listeners might hear you mention transgender and then say something
and
negative
jump
after
to a conclusion
and assume that you don't respect them.
No, because exactly. because they're still human and everyone's got to have respect. But it turns out some people, and like this is fact as well, where they turn trans, they're actually gay, but because they've been forced into it. But going to the 25 thing, your like sort of front brain doesn't fully develop, and that's your decision making until you're fully 25. So like that's why I said maybe be at 25 because the last thing you need is to turn trans when you're 18. Turn 25 and think, shit, I'm actually gay.
Well, it's quite funny. I saw a thing the other day. It was at an awards show. And I think I can't remember the exact award show, and I can't remember the exact guy, but he walks on stage and he just goes, I just like to. He wasn't meant to come on stage. He came on stage, and everyone's like, "What's this guy doing?" He comes up to the mic. He just goes, "I'd just like to say, I'm coming out as transgender."
Oh, bro!
Everyone applauds him. Everyone applauds him. Yeah. He goes, "I'm just kidding."
Yeah.
And then he gets booed off stage.
Oh my god, that Brody TV.
The
outrageous.
The like other thing is saying that. People, and like even this has come from the trans community, saying people are like flying these flags and painting these flags on like kids' faces, this and that, and like the other, they're not doing us any favours because like they're saying people are pushing it, and it says we don't want to be classed as different, we don't want a sort of a different flag. I mean, like it's good to be proud of what you are, but they're saying the media's not doing us any favours. We just wish you would do it because we just want to be classed as normal, and like.
I think there's also a distinct line with teaching children about being gay and teaching them how to be it.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, primary
there's a difference.
School people shouldn't need to know that. I mean, and I've got
no problem teaching about it, but
just let them have the life. You know what I mean? I mean, 10-year-olds and 7-year-olds aren't going to be bothered about that. They're going to be more bothered about Ben 10,
Minecraft. Yeah.
Like Minecraft or like football or like sort of LOL dolls, you can't expect youngsters to have a life-changing decision when they're that age.
Yeah.
But a lot of parents will say, oh, look at us, we've got a trans kid, look at us, and it's like, is it the cool thing to do?
And in today's society as well, that could allow their children to get into a more high status school these days because people want to mix with the diversity, so that's now becoming a factor in qualifications and when it comes to becoming a part of different communities.
It's all very woke, but it's a mad push when people say you must do this, you must say that, you can't say this, you can't think that, and it's like again you're having your own free thought taken away from you, and you can't have that. You are going to have the odd racist asshole and the odd skinhead who's a knob, and you won't convince, but still, they're allowed their say, regardless. I might not agree, but I will support them to have their own free opinion. And that's why I've got the podcast.
Yeah. Well, we are just in such a confusing time, and I think a lot of it is to do with us actually just not knowing enough about it, like with the trans thing. People...
Not educated.
Yeah, well, no one's educated, really, because now, just because you can do something doesn't make it the smart options. That's on the topic of...
What do you mean by that? Because that's taken out of context.
on the topic of, like, changing someone's gender at an early age, like, early as 12 or even before that.
Yeah.
You can't... it doesn't necessarily make it... Because maybe, we've already said it, at that age, someone might feel some way. It's the main reason, maybe, why depression and suicide is the highest in the trans community, because of just the confusion, really. Because some people are telling them, you want, be what you want to be, and there's probably a huge proportion of people doing something too brash and then regretting it.
It goes back to, if the autistic, though, and, like, they turn trans, does autism have an effect on like, suicide? I mean, like, we're talking an age group where you can't even have sex, you can't even have an alcoholic drink, but yet you can make an informed decision to change your, like, sex. And that's just crazy. Yeah. And that's not just... That's a life-changing... That just changes everything. It's a different ballgame. Everything becomes different.
Changing who you are.
But also, we do get... people go, it going the other way, though, as well. So you've got that set, and people just giving them too much, but you also get people who are, like us, saying, you can't do that. That is one of the reasons why suicide and trans is so high, because they're getting both ends of the spectrum. They're getting people saying, don't make that decision too quickly, and they might want to do that, and then all of a sudden they'll spiral down. But then all of a sudden you get the opposite when, you know, oh, do it. Go on, I support you, do it now.
But I think there's also, we live in a place where we're not really aware of the surroundings, of the attitudes of, like, I'm not very good at expressing things, but we're not very good at recognising the communities we live in now. So, for example, when Philip Schofield came out as gay, you know, congratulations. But the amount of tweets I saw of people saying, in this day and age, it's so brave. And you've got to take a step back and realise this is probably the most welcoming age. Yeah. It is to be in that community.
It's like not brave.
It's great to recognise that. That's fantastic.
No,
but I don't think it's fair to call it brave anymore.
No, it's like not brave. But I'm not bothered if he's gay or not. I mean, I still used to watch him when he was Gordon the Gopher. And
He's a great guy. I love his Snapchat.
I've had gay friends. I don't think I've got any friends that are gay at the minute. Or I don't know if no, but I like know people who have trans. I've been to a trans wedding, and I've had two trans on sort of my podcast, and it's good. The last trans person said, I don't care what people say; they're allowed their own opinion. But if they came up to me in the street and started gobbing off, then I would have something to say. Mm. But everyone must have their say. So I don't think it's so much the trans people. I think it's the left, they must feel inferior with themselves to protect other people. So it's...
You do get people standing up for people who aren't really associated with them. Yeah. They feel a need to...
Yeah, well, they don't try and correct the world if your room itself isn't tidy itself. And I think that's what they're doing. They are not tidying their own room, and then they're going out and trying to... Oh, I've done my good deed today. I've posted a global warming post on Instagram to raise awareness. That's my good deed for the day. Luck, and they go home, eat there. Well, does tend to be go home to their privileged lifestyle, and then eat their privileged food, and then get back to going on the Instagram and virtue signaling, which one likes. Like that's the main reason that turned me off Corbyn.
I don't like it when people put flags on the face, especially of the little, like, kids or grandkids or things like that.
You don't know what it is.
And it's like, A, the kids don't know what it is, and B, the parents or grandparents don't fully understand it. But it's good in a way, because I can see what they're doing, because they're trying to accept everyone, and everyone should already be accepted without that.
Yes.
So maybe the problem isn't doing that. Maybe the problem is education. But then it might go to the upbringing and things like that. It's just a very complicated scenario. I mean, I don't care.
100%.
Yeah, I don't care what you do. I might not agree with it, but I'm not going to walk the other side of the street.
Me personally, growing up in this sort of world where I am and all that, I've never seen any sort of non-acceptance of it. Where I've never seen anything.
Well, you'll hear the occasional joke, which shouldn't be taken seriously anyway, because that's what comedy is, subjective.
Yeah.
But
yeah, well, it's, I the other day slipped out. I was like, oh, stop being retarded. And which Sean went, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, you
don't call him a retard. You can't say that. I was just there like, yeah, and I was just like, okay, have you called someone don't be blind or are you deaf?
Yeah,
it's the same. It's the same thing. You know, you can't.
I mean, I've got a badge when I was younger and it says I've helped the Spastic Society on it, because there used to be a shop called the Spastic Society. So we're going back a long time now, and I still sometimes call people a spaz. I say, don't be a spaz, don't be gay, because that's it. It's not meant to be taken literally. And if you start doing this, say you can't say that. That's form and controlment. You're supposed to be on the left, and the left were fighting for free speech. But now it turns out we're pushing liberals and the left. They're pushing them to the right because they're saying, I'm not having none of this. I can say what I want. I mean, I'm 41, so I think I can say what I want. I don't think I'm being nasty to anyone. But when someone says to me, you shouldn't really say it, I'm like, well, tell me why I shouldn't say it.
Mm. Yeah.
I think.
Well, if the person didn't want me to say retard, I'm more than happy not to say it around. You know, it's, it's more of a. What they should do is just say, instead of, you can't say that, you can't say that, just say, don't be a dick.
Mm.
But actually, obviously, saying the word dick is also offensive to trans women that want to be males.
To say that.
don't be an arsehole.
I think there are two things. Oh. There are two interesting things here. So I think one of the things is when iDubbbz once said, if you don't like a word, you're automatically giving it the power you don't want it to have.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. And the other thing was, I think Ricky Gervais says it. He was like, and you told me about this. It was like, if I disagree with one thing, then I have to disagree with everything.
Yeah.
In that sense. So if I find this offensive, then there's no reason for me not to give everything offensive. So why don't I just not care at all?
If people can be diverse, why can't opinions be like a spectrum? They're saying gender is a spectrum. Why can't my opinions be a spectrum of just different things?
You've got to have this sort of mixture in society, because it would be boring if we just lived in the same society where everyone was the same.
It would be robotic. It would be, it'd be communist. Creepy. It'd be communist. That's what it'd be.
I've got 15 minutes left because I've got the tea in the oven. But you guys wanted to talk about the Corona diet.
Before you go, just enlighten us about that, because that'll probably get people interested. So, guys, Rick currently did the carnivore diet. I'm not sure if you've heard it, but do you want to explain about it and all that, go on?
Yeah, I did it for 30 days. There was a guy that I've had on my podcast. It was Sean Baker. Wait there, let me get his book out. Is it Baker? Sean Baker, and he was on Joe Rogan in 2017. And he came on my podcast. That was this year. I've also had another carnivore person on, but I did it for 30 days, so I just only ate animal products. I ate cheese, I drank milk, I had raw milk, which is unpasteurised, so it doesn't go through a treating process. Mm-hmm. It just comes
straight eggs. From the other.
Yep, straight from, well, I didn't actually suck
from the straight from the cow.
cheese, eggs and meat. And I did that for 30 days and I lost 1 stone and about 3 pounds.
What?
Any exercise that influenced that?
I didn't do any exercise. Just purely.
How much were you eating?
For starters, I was frying stuff in lard and butter. So I was having bacon for breakfast. Maybe some, like, I don't know. I had some oysters for dinner at work one day because there were 90p from fishmongers. Ham. Then went home and had steak. Then I skipped breakfast because I was too full. Then it was really only once or twice a day I was eating, and I was going to the toilet once a day.
How are those poos?
Good, fine.
Really?
One
well shaped.
One got stuck nearly on a panic, but it came out in the end.
Thank God.
Sean Baker's got a book, and he's a medical doctor because he used to be a surgeon for the army.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not like it's a crap diet, but people say you'll get scurvy, but scurvy comes from eating dried meats and salted meats.
Yeah.
So
what's the science behind it?
In sort of what way do you mean?
How do you lose this weight?
Because there's like no carbs going in, so it's going in on it. So I don't fully understand.
No, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair. It's
carbs are worthless.
Yeah, carbs, like sort of carbs and sugar are, so it's feeding off itself. So if you go to his book or go to his podcast, he'll explain it a hell of a lot better than I can about vitamin C, vitamin D and things like that. Because you can have fish, you can drink water. So, I mean, sort of some people, I mean, I had a guy on my podcast and he just has fried mints and water. And like that's he was in a depression state where he was going to have electric shock treatment in America, but now he's off all his medication. He's lost a shitload of weight. He goes to the gym all the time.
Just eating meat.
Yeah, just like eating meat and drinking.
Imagine that being expensive though. Hella expensive.
Well, if
you'd want to shop at the butcher's if you were going to dedicate yourself to that, wouldn't you? You want some good quality stuff, wouldn't you? Shout out Tom Dennis.
The thing is, if you're just eating one meal a day or two meals a day, you're not going to be spending that much, are you?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
makes sense.
That's true.
You should have been on the carnivore diet through like this crisis because you wouldn't hardly need any toilet roll because you'd be going once a day.
I don't think that toilet roll pattern.
Ben, we should start trying.
Carnivore diet. I think my mum would go absolutely guarantee me. I'd just take up the whole fridge with meat.
What's funny is that's a complete polar opposite to the trend of the left, which is
the
obviously
movement of vegans.
But you will find statistically, this is a fact as well, the number one cause and the number second cause of death with vegans and vegetarians is heart disease.
Okay. Week.
So it's I was full of energy. I want anxiety. I didn't feel depression or that. I was full of energy. I was having a good night's sleep. What was I having mainly? I was mainly having like steaks, meatballs, eggs.
Nice.
But bacon, you can just have as much bacon fried and lard as you want.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, this just sounds so counterintuitive because I watched that vegan Netflix show.
Oh, right, yeah.
And that literally completely solved vegetarianism completely to me. I was just like, wow, that's... But now you're telling me that you lost a stone and it was... This is just confusing. So confusing. Why not just a balanced diet, you know?
check out Sean Baker's Instagram page.
Yeah.
And see how jacked... I mean, like, he does exercise as well. But he's jacked. He's absolutely massive, and for 50-odd, he doesn't look 50-odd.
Yeah,
but it's like you did mention the varied diet. That's one thing why I won't keep doing it because I like food too much, and I like the choice of sort of variety.
Yeah.
So I've started eating.
You'd get sick of it. Yeah. But yeah,
I've started eating meat again. I've started having honey in my tea because I'd like cut out tea and honey. I just had coffee and water and milk. Mm-hmm. I did have goat's milk, and I had full fat milk.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel a lot better now because if I want a bit of meat, I could just have a bit of meat. The only thing I did find wrong, it's really hard to eat out because just when you say I'll just have steak,
oh, God.
They're just sort of like the
main load.
Yeah, because there's I live near Lincoln City and there's a place near called Samba Brazil or Brazil Samba, I can't remember. And it's just basically one of them restaurants where they bring meat to you. Bring it to your table and just start cutting it off. So you pay £20 and you can sit there. So Sean Baker did this and he ate like £6 worth of meat in one sitting.
Great story for you here, Rick. Great story. I believe you weren't there, were you, Ben? There is a Brazilian restaurant down the road from us where they give you pay about 20 quid, similar to your restaurant, and a waiter comes every few minutes with a new bit of meat, slabs it on your plate, and you eat it, and you have a little card, and you flip it over onto red if you don't want any more. There was about 12 of us. We played a game. Last person to put their red card down is the winner. Went on for 2 hours, meat continuously coming on the plates, continuously eating. You can't go to the toilet. It all ended in non-stop chunder. It was a beautiful.
The reason I disgusting take it apart, may I just say, because I'm a big eater, and that's just up my alley. But I that day already had the shits to begin with, so I just couldn't. I could not. Like, I was in a bad way, so that's why I didn't go there. But look,
yeah,
it was interesting.
Yeah, if you that's one thing about the sort of kind of that I keep wanting to say the coronavirus diet. That's one thing about the
coming soon.
That's one thing about the carnivore diet. If you feel a Trump coming on in the first couple of weeks, don't do it because it's going to end in disaster. But then your body builds up. I mean, I first got the idea because Joe Rogan did it, and I thought, I'm going to have to try this because I like food. I like trying different foods and different meats and that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a bit controversial. And I thought, that just sounds like something to piss loads of people off. I think I'll do it. But it turned out I just lost loads of weight. I just, like, lost loads of weight. And people couldn't understand. It says, but you're just eating bacon fried. And, like, yeah, prawns.
It makes sense. It does make sense, though, if I'm honest, because you're not having the carbs. And
all sugar.
Yeah, all sugar, yeah. But whereas if you're vegetarian, you're, well, potatoes, that's masses of carbs. And
yeah.
They have cheese, they can have cheese as well if you're vegetarian. Yeah, it makes total sense. And that's why, obviously, the balance, you know, because it's, oh, that's probably why they're dying of heart failure, because they're not getting any protein in, they're not getting enough, so they're not, you know, building muscle around the heart and stuff, which is, yeah.
I know nothing about the science of this.
You did PE. I'm just freestyling it.
Yeah, two freestyling it. 2 years ago.
Also, if you, it's like you have a lot of salt as a, like, well, but people say, I mean, I had a ton load of salt and my blood pressure was fine at some, like the end of it. But you drink so much water, it flushes your system out and you just, you like, skin becomes better. But now I've come back to normal eating, I do find if I want a chocolate bar, I might just have a chocolate bar with a bar of, I'll, like, have a chocolate bar with a bottle of, like, sort of glucosade, and you'll feel crap afterwards. As where if you had something else, like meat or water, you wouldn't feel, and you'd feel fuller for longer, because sugar's a massive thing, and I was craving sugar. It took about 2 to 3 weeks for the sugar craving to go, and by the time it went, it was over. So maybe I should have done it for another 30 days, but
yeah,
I just like food too much. I just like getting up and say, I want a round of toast, I want some Weetabix, I want some porridge. But when you're on the diet, it's like you feel restricted.
Probably constantly frying.
Don't give you that. Yeah, and it's like you don't get that choice. And
you would get sick of it. It's the same texture mostly, isn't it?
When it comes to chewing. Yeah, it is. And not like, it's like, how do you do it? Do you put, like, meatloaf and then you can't have brown sauce, so you have eggs for the sauce, and it's like...
You can't imagine it, no, because whenever you have a steak, you have your vegetables, you have your mashed potato, and you can sort of, you'd be like, oh, what's the problem? But then you realise you don't have any of that stuff to complement it. And as me and Ben have discussed, complementary foods is the perfect ingredient for a good food in general, for a good meal.
But if you have a... if you have a steak, try and eat it semi-raw, like blue, or like and rare. And you do it from there. So that's it.
Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful. Well,
yeah, thank you very much
for coming on today, Rick.
Thanks for having us on.
Been an absolute pleasure. Yeah. You've been a fantastic guest.
Yeah, you've been a brilliant host. I've, like, sort of really enjoyed it.
Well, you've definitely come on again soon.
Yeah, definitely. And if you guys want to come on mine, or if any of your listeners want to come on mine,
I think next time I'll get a... Well, I'll come to you, or you can... I'll just give you a topic. We'll actually have a topic so we can... Well, go in more depth, maybe, because we just had a good old just bounce frenzy around, of just going everywhere, really.
Get to know Rick.
Yeah, because I think there's a loads more we can talk to. Talk about.
Well, you struck us to have loads of stories. Well, yeah, it's great.
Because we could talk about DMT as well.
Oh, exactly.
So,
thank you very much. Right, have a lovely weekend. Okay.
You've been listening to the Classic Club Podcast. My name's Adam.
And he was Rick.
Thank you. My name's Rick from Tim Biscuit Podcast, and you can find my podcast on all podcast platforms.
We'll link it as well. We got you covered.
Beautiful. Well, it'll all be in the description.
Cool beans.
We got you, man.
Brilliant stuff.
Stay classy. See you, boys. Have a good one. Goodbye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Stay classy.